All right. Thank you, Tiffany. Aren't you glad to be under his wings? I tell you, I'm born on a farm, and I know what the old setting hen did to protect those little chicks under her wings. Amen. God's wings. Well, I want you to open your Bible with me this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. For the tape room up there, they generally try to put a title on the message, but all I know for you to do is put New Year 2016, and that'll give you a code to find it, maybe. Ecclesiastes, a book that is written from the natural viewpoint, the man under the sun, on the earth, what he can see and understand, and sometimes he forgets the Lord's view of it, but oftentimes experience also, natural experience, even points us to the Lord. And you have that here in this eighth chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'm going to read beginning in about verse 6 and read through about verse 13. So I hope you found it with me. If you can get on over Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and pick it up in chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? I want you to think on that verse a little bit. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. You know, the natural man wants to know ahead. See it in verse 7. I ask you to look at it a couple of times. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? While we don't know, we want to know. It's a natural curiosity. We want to know what's coming ahead. We want to plan, and in some cases we want to predict, but we really, really don't know. You know, animals live for the moment, basically. Now, the squirrel may be a little exception because he stores the nuts for the winter, but basically an animal is living in right now. And you know what? Too many people today are living just exactly that way. Yet, because we're connected to God and made in his own image, we have a sense within us that tells us to look out for tomorrow. That tells us to plan. Any man that heads up a business has to do some planning. Leadership is involved. But to the degree that we think ahead kind of separates us sometime from especially the culture today that's grabbing for everything right now, wanting it right now. No matter what it's going to cost them in the future, they're still grabbing for it right now. Even your commercial advertisements and all that pointed out. But the natural man wants to know ahead, and we speculate some about it. And I don't know, probably when I was a little fella, I'm going to date myself now, born on the farm, and once a week the Grit, G-R-I-T, newspaper came. Anybody ever remember that one? Several hands. And the biggest thing I learned from it was watching the funny papers. Anybody ever remember seeing Alley Oop in the Grit newspaper? Well, that was your original caveman. That's what happened to the dinosaurs. He beat them to death with that club. But anyway, you remember those? But one of the articles in there, I don't know if it was Flash Gordon or whatever it was, but it had to do with space travel. And it had to do with living out in space. And it had to do such things as time machines. Now, that's been speculated about for a long time. Time machines. I think about the old farmer that went first time to the hotel, and as they were waiting for the elevator to come down, he saw a woman step in the elevator, and she was pretty old and scarred up and didn't look so good. But when the door opened again, a beautiful lady stepped out. He thought, oh, I wish I had my wife here. Excuse me a little bit, ladies, but anyway. Time machine. Man has dreamed about that, how he could go forward in time and how he could go backwards in time. And technology today is got some folks excited, and we got all kind of movies with fiction and all that business about it. I want to say something that might shock you. It is possible to travel through time. Even science says so today. Now, it's limited to one direction. Now, if you've seen that show, Back to the Future, raise your hand. Hope you saw it on TV, but anyway, pretty nutty. A part I liked about it was that flying car. I think that'd be a great idea in the traffic we have today. But anyway, you remember something about it, shooting through the future and all that business. Well, science today tells us if you had the velocity, if you had the speed, you could actually project in the future. Now, if it works, it would only work one way. You can't go back in the past, because you might go back in your past and murder your grandpa, and then you wouldn't exist when you got back to the future. You following me on this? Hey, by the way, I just dropped this on you. If you could travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, or what is it, 660 million miles per hour, if you could travel it that way, you could actually, they say, move into the future, but you can't, of course. They say they've proved it by taking an atomic clock, putting it on a very fast jet airplane, and you see a clock in motion, the same one, I mean the same mechanical clock. They did it with an atomic clock, but you take the same clock, and if you can put it on an airplane and go fast enough, they could finally measure that they actually were advancing into time. Now, don't ask me to explain that. You've heard the thought that if an astronaut went into the future, they've got the rate figured out. If he could go into the future, if he was in the future 7 years on Earth, only 1 year. Let me get that right. If he went in the future 1 year, get it right now, don't leave you out there. 1 year, back on Earth, 7 years would pass. So there's some interesting things about time travel, but God didn't, we don't have a time machine. We're not going to get one, but we got a time book. And it is our time machine, and it tells you how to go into the future. And it tells you a lot of good things about it. And as I think about it, here it is, 2016. Who in the world would have thought it a few years ago? Here we are. We're about to move into a new year. We're about to advance in time. Did anybody see the cartoon Friday, maybe? The cartoon in the Lakeland Letter. Cartoons make a lot more sense in the way they project the news sometimes. If you saw the cartoon in the Ledger, Friday, I guess it was, the old year, 2015, was marching out. He looked a mess. He was on crutches. He was beat up. He was taped up. He was scarred up. And the new babe was walking in to meet him, the new year, 2016. And the new babe looked a lot like Donald Trump. He had Donald's hairdo. And as they met, Trump was giving him the thumb to get out of here, and he said, "You loser." Well, he's dead right. It was a bad year. It was a losing year. It was a painful year, and no doubt about it. real truism there. 2015 saw a lot of tragedy. Whether you know it or not, we saw our morals get even lower on a national basis in 2015. I mean, you think about what the Supreme Court did with the gay marriage. That's something 2015 will be marked for a long, long time. And then you had the news break where the abortion crowd was chopping up the babies and selling the parts. I'm talking about we could just kind of go on and on, and the enemy that we won't recognize or call by name chopped off more heads. I think the headline in the paper this morning, I hadn't had a chance to read it all, but I saw the headline there, and in Saudi Arabia, they chopped off 47 more heads. I think that either brings them, I believe it was 150 before that, or that was included in the 150, but you know that's a sport with them almost. We're talking about government chopping off heads. We're talking about people, I don't know if they sell tickets, but they bring a big crowd like they were watching a football game and chop off people's heads. We better recognize the enemy. I mean, man, that's exactly what their book tells them to do, and to do it to infidels, and you and I are classified in their so-called holy book, which it isn't. We're called infidels. Infidels. Now, we've seen a lot of things happen in 2015. We've seen a lot of churches, good churches, having to rewrite their constitutions and bylaws to try to make it clear we won't perform gay marriages in our church. And I want to say praise God for churches that are taking a stand. And I know some churches that belong to big denominations. Now, we're independent Baptists. Somebody says, what's good about that? I'll tell you what's good about it. We choose our own friends. And even our friends can't tell us what to do. Amen and amen. Anyway, a lot of them are fighting their own denomination because in the top echelons where the money finally reaches, they're marrying not only gays, but they're ordaining them and making so-called pastors out of them. I mean, I'm talking about 2015 being really beat up. I mean badly, badly hurt. And then the last thing we're reading here in the last few days is we're going to have another big effort to take your guns away. The very outfit that won't recognize who the enemy is wants you to be indefensible before the enemy. And that is as ridiculous as it can get. That's a pretty bad picture. That old guy leaving representing 2015, he's a mess. He really got chewed up. He really got bad. He's in a bad, bad way, and yet the so-called liberal crowd is trying to talk about what a great year they had. Well, they did if you were letting Satan keep score. They did if you're measuring it from the bottom up instead of from God down, amen? But you know, I want to say this. I don't know what the new year holds. Here I'm looking in this verse 7. For he knoweth not which shall be. Man wants to know, but he don't know, but he desires to know. And then I tell you that the only way you're going to know with any assurance is go to God's time machine. And that's the Bible. I want to say this. I don't know what 16 holds, but I know who holds it. I know that he's got it in his hand. And I want to say this. There's some things that were true in all the past, and they're still going to be true in 2016. I want to say to you to begin with, we'll find out that God will still judge sin in 2016. He did judge it. Look at verse 11 here. Verse 11 of the text I read. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. Well, I did it and God didn't strike me. No, he didn't strike you then. He didn't hit you speedily. And so that encourages you to do it again. How many of us as kids grew up and when Daddy said he'd get us, if he didn't, we did it again? Now, I didn't get much of that. Daddy was pretty good mind about remembering. But anyway, that's the way the folks treat God. Well, God, the preacher said, if I did this, well, wait a minute. Time's not up. The game's not over. Score's not fully in yet. Amen? But he'll still judge sin in 2016. Maybe not speedily. But isn't it amazing? Somebody said that God's wheels of judgment turn exceedingly slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. They don't miss anything. Don't miss anything. Some of the famous bills have been in the news lately. After being an old man, what a shame it is to see Bill Cosby limping around on a stick and then find out all that sin that he was committing while he was encouraging everybody else to do good. I've laughed at his jokes and stuff too in the past, but God was seeing more than I was seeing. He was seeing more than you. A couple of famous bills, their life has been in the news again, and I guess we got to go through a campaign. We're going to hear more about it. But 2015 is full of this verse of people getting caught after they thought they got away with it. And that's what God says. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's what God says. And some of them have been jailed over it, financial, moral. And by the way, some of them ought to be in jail. And I'll tell you, they may get by with our laws and our courts, but they won't get by with God. He won't miss any of it. And so in 2016, you can count on something. God will still judge sin. And he's the one that will tell you what sin is. It's the transgression of his law. Somebody said the other night in testimony, I guess it was at Watch Night Service, how young people and others just don't know anything about our history, anything about God, even who Jesus Christ is. That's a day and age that we've moved into, but God himself is still going to judge what sin is a transgression of his law. You will face it here or hereafter. The Bible says some men's sins are open beforehand, going on before the judgment, and some men they follow after. But it will happen, it will come, and God says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Galatians 6:7, he is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what you see in a lot of folks planting crops, and one day they come up. One day there is a reaping time, but in 2016, God will still judge sin. I hurry on to say, in 2016, thank God he'll still save. Gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Bible tells us. While it's often unreported by the news, multitudes of people are being saved today, all across planet Earth. We may not see so much here as we used to, and we don't. And that may be true with all America, but it's not true with all the world. Even the technology that the devil is using today, the porn on the internet and all the dirty stuff that's going on, God is taking some of the technology today and using it for good. Listen to me. While we're sitting right here, and our Sunday school report was low this morning, on this property, 700-800 people are hearing the gospel. Going over this microphone in the outreach of our radio station, they tell us 5,000 to 10,000 are listening. But more than that, through technology now, we're going out over the web. And many are listening that we could never imagine. And we heard testimony Thursday night at Watch Night Service from our radio station manager how we were getting notices as far away as Russia, listening to what I'm preaching here, what we're doing at this church with this radio station. Now, I would have never imagined that. Yet God is using it. His word is getting out. And multitudes are being reached, and multitudes are being saved all over the place. And what a wonderful thing that is. But sometimes the devil don't want us to know what God is doing. Somebody said, well, the church is being defeated. I read a stat this week where it said young people are leaving the church. They've been brainwashed here and there. Give them a little time. Let them get scarred up and crippled up. A lot of them are going to come back realizing what a fool they've been. That's going to happen also. It is happening in many cases. But you know, the gospel will still save in 2016, and the gospel is still restraining. If you think the world is bad, you just take out the saved out of it. You let the Holy Spirit of God be removed. He's the restrainer. He's the one that has still got God's word out here and there. And every now and then, you hear about a great break. I heard about a terrorist. I mean one that planted bombs. I mean one that had blood on his hands. Taught to do that. But he got saved. And what a difference. And by the way, that's the only difference that's going to make the difference with them, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that Jesus died for their sins. They don't have to go out and kill people in the name of Allah to get to Allah's heaven. That's the big deception and the deceiving of Satan himself. But the truth is, when they get that truth, can you imagine if you've been raised in a home as a kid and your goal taught to you by your parents was to grow up and be a martyr for Allah? I'm not stretching that, folks. You ought to study that bad stuff. I saw right on TV where a so-called martyr had blown himself up, killed some infidels, and the mother went home, sat in the living room, and invited the neighbors in and passed out candy to celebrate that she had raised a jihadist. That's fact going on all the time. What good news it is. I don't have to give my kids to be a jihadist. I don't have to blow up and kill people to go to heaven. What good news it is to hear that Jesus loved me and died for me and paid for my ticket to heaven. That's what the gospel would do if we could get it around the world, everybody. And that's what needs to be done. Thank God we're doing our part here and others are doing their part. And God is blessing it above what you hear in the news. Certainly. And the gospel restrains. Holds back sin. You folks that are listening to me, whether on the internet, radio, or in this building, you just reject Jesus long enough, and when God's people are called out of here, you're going to find out about what hell on earth really is. When the influence of God's church and God's people are gone, you really are. I want to say this, though. In 2016, God will still answer prayer. He'll still answer prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, you should know it over there. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things I knowest not. We as believers in Christ, through the shed blood of Christ, we have an audience with the great God of the universe to bring our petitions before him. That's what prayer is. If you were here watching, it was on Thursday night, Wednesday night. Wednesday night I gave the Bible lesson time to talking about prayer and winding up with all of us making a special time, special effort to pray for our Brian Baker. He's one of our staff here, a key person, a great man, loving the Lord. And it looks like, humanly speaking, his life is hanging until they can get a liver transplant. And as they moved him from the local hospital to Orlando, it was even questionable whether he could make the trip. So we had prayer Wednesday night. And thank God for all of you that were here and all of you that prayed and all of you that have been praying before then and after then. And keep it up, by the way, keep it up. But Brian was laying there in the Orlando hospital and Anita, his wife, was sitting there talking to him. We concluded our prayer here for him at just about maybe a couple of minutes before 8:30. I was up to see him, and here's what he said. He said, Anita and I were talking, and he said, I said, hold it, something's happening. And he said, I got a feeling of peace and victory that I can't explain. Just as you were concluding prayer. They didn't know we were concluding prayer right then, but he marked the time. God is in the prayer answering business. And it could be his will to take Brian home, but if it's not, he is allowing us to ask that he spare him and leave him. I believe in prayer. I believe in answered prayer. I believe I could give you testimonies if I had time. Most of you, if you think back over your long range of your life since you've been saved, you've had prayer after prayer after prayer answered. You know, thank God that is true. Brother Jeff Cruz is back there. He's up in the tape room. He said something to me, joking about that young man that appeared on the video on Wednesday night, watch night service. Where they got that, I don't know. but had a picture of me when I was younger, and various things were better in place than they are now. But anyway, I don't know where it come from. But anyway, he said something to me. I said, yeah, but did you notice I had glasses on? Young man with glasses on. He said, yeah, I remember about that. See, we were on that Israeli trip about 1990, and I hated those glasses. I'd been wearing them about 5 years and never got used to them. And I'm going to shorten the story, but God just spoke to me that morning as I was getting on the tour bus. He said, I guess I was fussing about my glasses and my heart. He said, if you really believed I could take care of them, you just leave them here. Take care of your eyes. I left them. I didn't hear his voice, but I heard an urging inside. If you really want to prove me, try it. And I did. And I left them there, and I've never worn them since. And Jeff's a witness, and all the rest of them, it was on that bus. You say, why would God do that for me instead of for you instead of me? Because he loves me more. That's easy. No, I can't answer that. But I know he did. I know he did. I'm still reading this book without him. No, I don't have eye contacts. I'd still read the board back there. Folks, if that ain't a miracle, excuse me, it ain't, but it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And God did it for why? Maybe so I could tell you about it. I didn't tell you about it. I waited 14 years before I ever told you the first time about that. God answers prayer. He's a prayer answering God. He certainly is. And we've all had our personal experiences. That's just one I could tell you about. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of things in 2016, 2015, and before messed up. God may not fix those very things, but they can't stop him from answering prayer. They can't stop him from saving souls. They can't stop him from judging sin. All that he does, the Supreme Court can't change. The White House can't change. God is still in charge. Amen. And I want to tell you this. He still may return in 2016. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, when he does, the restrainer against sin is going to be removed. Now look at the text here, verse 12 and 13. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not God. Oh, yes. The restrainer will be removed when the saved are removed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. Then sin, unrestrained, will be loosed, and the captain of sin will show up. The devil through his man, the Antichrist, will reign terror on earth. We think we got terror happening now. We don't know anything compared to what it will be then. It'll be an awful, awful time. Worse than that, the strong delusion that I see prevailing today is going to be so great that instead of men turning to God under that terror and turning to God under that pain, they're going to shake their fist at him and defy him even greater. That's what the Bible says. That's my time machine. I've projected way out ahead of Flash Gordon, way out ahead of 660 million miles per hour. This book takes me further than that, tells me what's going to be. And therefore, I can come back here. And because I know what's out there, I can affect what is going on here in the here and now. Amen. Oh, yeah, he may return in 2016, surely. I'm past identifying signs. I've watched the nations align just like the Bible says they would be, and the wars planned and happening just like they said. I've watched the days of Noah and the days of Lot come upon planet Earth. Jesus said it'd be like that before he returned. And it's like that. Man, it is here. It is here, no doubt about it. But I want to say this. While we don't know all the details, I don't know what the stock market will do in 2016, probably like it did last year, up and down and all that bit. I don't know. But I know that man can still get saved when he hears the gospel. He can come to Christ who loved him and died for him. And he can be prepared for whatever this next year holds. Most awful thing I can think of that could happen in 2016 is for you to die unprepared to meet the Lord. Unprepared because you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ. That'd be the most awful thing that could happen. I remember on a Friday or Saturday afternoon, I was working around the little country church I first pastored. I heard tires squealing in the parking lot, and I run out. It was one of my teenagers hollering, "Come with me, preacher, come with me." I was in my work clothes, but I jumped in the pickup truck, and he headed to the little town about 7 miles away. And he began to tell me, his cousin, they were out in the boat. They were fishing. They had a .22 rifle. They were popping some seabirds or something out there, shooting around. They take the boat back in. They're getting out of the boat. And the young man turns back and reaches the rifle and takes it by the barrel. And something triggered it, and it shot him right through the heart. Just a .22 rifle, but it was a bullseye. As we got to the doctor's office and he happened to be in, the car carrying the dead boy pulled in. And as I jumped out of the car, they had the boy in the back seat. They opened the doors. There he was, dead, with the blood already caking on him. But here's what made me never forget that. Is the boy's uncle, I guess, had driven him there. He was literally running around the car, past middle-aged man, but he was running around the car, and here's what he was saying. He was crying out. He was not ready. He was not ready. He was not ready to go. He was not ready to face God, and he was screaming and carrying on. I tried to hold him a little bit. The doctor came out. We both were trying to hold him. Finally, the nurse come out and put a shot in his arm. The uncle was going berserk, and his cry was, he was not ready. He'd say to me, "Preacher, he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. He's not ready. He's not ready." That's been a long time. That's been about 46, 47 years ago, but I'll never forget it. The most awful thing can happen to you. He didn't plan to go. He wasn't ready. He didn't plan to shoot himself. It was an accident. But he faced God very quick, very quick. So can you and I, very quick. Are you ready? Are you ready? The worst thing I can think could happen as we start off these two or three days of the new year would be for Jesus to come or your death to arrive and you not be ready. Would you honestly answer in your heart, am I ready? Do I know Jesus? Have I accepted him that loved me and died for me and paid for my sins? Is he my Savior? Would you look deep in there and be honest with yourself? I hope you can say yes. But if you can't, I got good news for you. You can leave that seat and come down that aisle and receive Jesus Christ, and he will save you if you'll come to him, if you'll let him. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Say, preacher, don't know my sin. No, but Jesus did, and he died for it. And if you'll come to him, he won't cast you out. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, I've preached from your book this morning, preached your word. Truly, it is a time machine, Lord. It tells us about the future when no other book can. Lord, it doesn't tell us when, but it tells us to be ready. Ready to step out into that future and face you. I pray there not be one today that leave this building not ready to step into your presence. Lord, the only way they'd be ready is receiving your son that you sent to this earth to be a payment for their sins, to purchase their ticket, as it were, to heaven. I pray for that man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, grandparent that needs to leave that seat and come forward this morning and receive Christ as Savior. Lord, we commit it to you. Father, my power ends right here. All I could do is tell them. And Father, use your word to tell the truth. Now it's up to them. It's a choice they make before you. I thank you, Father, you said whosoever will may come. And I pray many will come and receive Christ even today. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front right here. Will you meet me? Will you leave that seat? I did that one time when the preacher gave such an invitation.